Good afternoon, and welcome to Season 2 of Mental Health is Sexy with Coach V from the 513. I am your host, Coach V, and I'm a certified holistic life coach, speaker, author, and the creator of the Mental Health is Sexy brand. Welcome back to my podcast. Now, this is Season 2 because we are present, we are clear, we have a plan written out and a schedule, and I'm going to share all of that information with you in this very first episode of Season 2. Now, if you've been here before, Season 1 was recorded last year. I was sharing details about my backstory, my upbringing, my experience with mental illness. However, I recognized that I did not have a clear plan, goal, or strategy for my podcast. I was just excited to share my story somewhere. Then, while sharing my story, of course, I did not mentally, emotionally, or spiritually prepare for all of the emotions and feelings and guilt and anger that bubbled forth. So I've taken some time to do some more healing, to institute new self-care routines, and to brush up on exactly how to move this podcast forward while giving myself grace and room to make adjustments as needed. So here we are with what I'm calling Season 2 of this very unique podcast. I fell through the cracks of the traditional mental health services spectrum. In 2005, I was diagnosed with manic depression, and I was immediately given an expensive prescription for Zoloft and weekly visits with the psychiatrist. It took me 2 visits with the psychiatrist to know that that was not the best treatment plan for me. And at $99 a month for a bottle of pills, that wasn't going to work either. I had enough self-awareness to know, too, that the medication was just treating the symptom of my mental illness, or said another way, it was just allowing me to manage the harmful symptoms of my mental illness. However, it did not allow me to fix what was causing me to behave in a way that showed people or that exhibited a mental illness. So I just didn't know how to articulate that to the psychiatrist. I just didn't know what steps I needed to take to heal. So I decided to hide my symptoms. My biggest symptom for manic depression first surfaced when I was 16 years old, when I began to cut myself. And I began that practice, or continued that practice, up through my early 20s. And you can hear the details about this part of my life on what we're going to keep referring to as Season 1 of my podcast. I'm not taking those episodes down. It's an example for me to go back and see my growth. So if you're interested in hearing more details about those stories, you can go into what I'm calling Season 1 of my podcast and listen to my backstory, listen to my childhood, listen to my early adulthood, and you'll get a little more or even a lot more clarity on who I am and what my experiences with mental illness have been. So in 2005, when the treatment plan that they had me on, the medication, the psychiatrist, did not work for me, I spent the next 7 years hiding my symptoms. I essentially on my own had stopped cutting because I got to the point in life where I understood that I was just doing it now because it was habit, not because I wanted to any longer literally inflict pain upon myself. I didn't want to hide the scars anymore. I didn't want to have to explain them. So I on my own stopped cutting just because I think something in me had just matured. We'll just say that. However, the anger, the guilt, the overcompensation for things, the level of pain I experienced emotionally, or that I allowed people to inflict upon me, those things were still there. And I believe that since I decided to stop physically harming myself, which was in my mind a sense of release from the energy that I had built up from my mental illness, I believe that that energy still had to come out and manifest in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And it did in the form of attacking my mental health. There was about a good year and a half, my physical health, excuse me, not my mental health. There was about a good year and a half where I was experiencing debilitating migraines. Not just, oh, I have a little headache. Let me sit down. Let me take some Advil and let me just chill out. No, they were the type of headaches where I would see spots in my vision, where I would catch a fever, where I would be nauseous for hours on end. And it is the worst feeling to dry heave. Don't nobody enjoy vomiting in the first place. However, when there's contents in your stomach, typically once they've been expelled, you stop vomiting. Dry heaving is a whole nother bear. It's as if your body is trying to expel something that's not there. When you find out later on in life that something was there on an energetic level, you just wasn't trying to hear that. Dry heaving is the worst. So I would experience migraines where I would dry heave, have the spotted vision, would have a fever, could not endure any type of light. So not just, oh, turn down the lights. No, turn off the lights. And the only way that I was able to recuperate per se is to be placed in a dark room, have a damp cloth over my eyes, and be completely still. Like, don't even blink, you know, underneath the towel. Don't even breathe too heavy. Like, I would have to be completely and totally still, completely in the dark, completely in silence. And during this time in my life, my children were younger. So when all of this started, my children at the time were 2 and 4. So imagine going through life, you know, at 5 and 7, at 6 and 8, at 8 and 10, knowing that sometimes your mom gets really, really bad headaches and we're basically governing ourselves. We know not to open the door. We know not to leave the house. However, we're basically governing ourselves because mommy doesn't feel well. So that means if we're fighting, we got to fight quietly. We can't run through the house and yell and play like little children should be able to because mommy doesn't feel well. Sometimes I had help from family members. Sometimes I didn't. However, when a migraine hit, I couldn't drive. Like I said, I could barely keep my eyes open. And it took years later for me to recognize that was the negative energy removing itself in another way since I stopped harming myself. Because it was very clear to me that when I was engaging in the unhealthy practice of self-mutilation, I didn't have migraines. I didn't have nausea. I could still drive. My vision was fine. I could still be in a room with the lights on. However, as soon as I stopped expelling that energy that way, which was completely and totally unhealthy, and I would not recommend anyone to engage in that practice, I noticed the energy came out another way. But as I stated a few minutes ago, I was just tired of performing the same behavior when I got upset or irritated or disappointed or hurt. I was looking at the scars I'd inflicted on my body and was like, this is not the business. I am too cute. My skin is too pretty. I have so much more to offer in life. And I done got quote unquote lucky or fortunate for so many years, meaning While I was engaging in this unhealthy practice, I never cut so deep that I bled out or couldn't heal or caught an infection like gangrene. Like, so many other things could have went wrong with that foolish practice that I was doing. So I was very fortunate after engaging in such a crazy, harmful thing for so many years that it didn't become a worse situation, because it could have been. So at the point that my body started responding in another way, because I had so many negative things building up, the migraines would happen. There was one time I was at work and my headache was so bad and debilitating, my arm started to swell. And my assistant manager at the time, who held a nursing degree, recognized that that was unusual, number one. But then number two, she felt my forehead and felt that I was burning up. So thankful to her quick thinking, she dialed 911. And it took a few moments for them to get there. But as soon as they got there and they checked my blood pressure, it was the highest it ever been. It was through the roof. That's why my head was about to pound itself out of my skull. That's why my arm was swollen. And that's why my temperature was so high, because my blood pressure was through the roof. Like, to the point that my heart was just going to burst. Like, it was a scary experience. But have you ever been in so much pain that you can't allow yourself to be fearful? Like, that's how I was. My head was hurting so bad. Even though I heard and understood what the paramedics were saying, I did not have enough energy or focus to be afraid for my life. I was in too much pain. I looked at my hand. I saw my hand was at least 4 times its normal size. My nail beds were purple. My fingers were purple. It felt like if you took a pen, you could pop my hand and all the blood and juices would ooze out. Like, but I wasn't aware how bad it was, because I was in my office with my head down, the office light turned off and my eyes closed. So I wasn't even sleeping. My head hurt too bad that I couldn't even sleep. My eyes were just closed. So I get in the ambulance and they immediately administer a shot of something into my backside in an effort to, I guess, reduce my blood pressure. So whatever medicine they injected me with was to reduce my blood pressure as well as address the pain that I was feeling. So I spent half of the day, actually it was going into the evening, at the hospital getting tests run, getting CAT scans. I remember hearing conversations of maybe she has a tumor. Like, it was just a lot going on just for them to find out I had no health conditions, but for me to know immediately that it was stress. I had people and circumstances in my life at that time that I knew I needed to let go of, and I did not want to let go. So after experiencing that situation, I decided that I had to remove stress from my life. And an important part of the story that I left out, maybe a month or two prior, my mom had just passed at the age of 46 years old with no prior health conditions from a heart attack. 90 days prior to her passing, I witnessed firsthand that they could have been the most stressful times in her life. And I believe that because her stress was mismanaged, her heart attacked itself and took her out of the game. So when I experienced my emergency situation and the blood pressure and the swollenness of my limbs and my head pounding right after my mom passed, that was enough to shake me into reality and say, okay, something has to give. So that man that was in my life that was just stressing me completely and totally out because I allowed him to, I renegotiated the terms of our relationship. I thought that my sharing with him in detail what was physically and medically going on with me would be enough for him to do right. I thought it would inspire him to treat me better, to be honest with me, to not take advantage of me, to be there for me. And it didn't. And at that time, I couldn't understand that. However, I had a medical bill and an ambulance ride to remind me to not be so foolish romantically and not be so disappointed, because he clearly did not care about the effect he was having on me physically, financially, and now mentally and emotionally. So after renegotiating the terms of that relationship, I reevaluated some things professionally. I reevaluated some things personally. But that was the extent of it. So I went on this whole cleansing spree to remove people, places, and things outside of myself that brought me stress, unhappiness, anger, disappointment, and guilt. And that process went on for a couple years. So I eliminated the self-mutilation, I eliminated the migraines, and I was still unhappy. I was still having spurts of anger. I was still over-disciplining my children. I was still hating my job at the time. Like, I was still stressed. It's just that I didn't have it so mismanaged that it manifested in unhealthy ways. So it wasn't until 2012 when I was introduced by a twist of fate to the idea of reconditioning my thought patterns, the idea of transforming harmful thoughts into healthy thoughts, the idea of improving my mental abilities, of shifting how I think about or view things. I learned about positive affirmations. I started reading books by Napoleon Hill, Lisa Nichols, Dale Carnegie, and Eckhart Tolle. I was introduced to Dr. Wayne Dyer and Bob Proctor and Napoleon Hill's recordings. I was introduced to the movie called The Secret. And all of those things and people taught me that I could choose to change how I think about things into a more positive light. And by me learning how to improve the way I thought about things, I was able to improve how I spoke about things. And by me improving how I spoke about things, I was able to improve how I did or behaved on a day-to-day basis. So learning how to control my thoughts, words, and deeds was a game changer for me. And it gave me over time the power as well as the skill set to do a self-scan and reevaluate those things inside of me that caused me stress, anger, disappointment, that created judgment within me about myself and others. And I embarked on a personal growth and healing journey that brought me to 2020 being the amazing woman that I am today, holistically healed and now helping other people to do the same. I created the Mental Health is Sexy brand in an effort to change the narrative around mental health, to influence the way mental health services are being delivered, and to help erase the stigma around mental illness. I did this because I fell through the cracks of the traditional mental health services spectrum. A treatment plan of prescription medication, as well as clinical visits with a psychiatrist, were not the type of healing or treatment that my soul needed. I needed to learn how to better cope with life, not how to manage my symptoms of mental illness. I needed to learn how to end harmful generational patterns or generational curses within my family. Not how to sit with someone weekly and rehash my past. I needed to learn tangible, hands-on ways, practices, and thought patterns that would allow me to see myself as the divinely created being that I am. And I was only able to do that by learning an alternative way to think, coupled with practicing holistic techniques. So, I'm very clear that I am not the only one walking this earth who has tried a clinical approach that did not work well for them. However, I may be one of the few people walking this earth that once they identified that the clinical approach was not for them, that they sought and researched and accepted things about themselves and understood that they had to take different courses of action in an effort to be holistically healed. There are plenty of people walking this earth off of their medication who won't go and talk to someone either A, because they went down that road and they didn't feel heard, it wasn't a good match, they couldn't afford their medication, or none of those things helped them and they couldn't articulate that they didn't help, or they did tell the doctor or counselor or therapist that, hey, you're not helping me, and then they were met with ego. Because sometimes people with all these pieces of paper and letters behind their names feel as if because they have all the academic training that you can't tell them anything, especially if you've been diagnosed with a mental illness. So because I know that I'm not the only person who's had this type of experience, I decided to create a brand and a platform where I can possibly talk to those people who resonate with my story. Now, let's be clear. I am by no means am against clinical treatment. I believe that there is a space and a lane for all of us. I've even coached some clients that who saw a therapist and is on medication while receiving coaching services from me as well. So I believe that best case scenario, the clinical space and the alternative and holistic space can work together. However, I'm here for the people, whether they're diagnosed with a quote unquote mental illness or not, because my platform, when I talk about mental health, does not mean someone's been diagnosed with a mental illness alone. Because I was diagnosed with a mental illness, and I think if anything, I just needed better coping mechanisms on how to deal with day-to-day life, as well as how to completely do soul healing from my past. And I'm just saying, a $99 a month prescription that manages my serotonin, which in turn controls the symptoms of my mental illness, did not, would not, and could not in no way, shape, form, or fashion offer me the support that I needed. And the therapist, we didn't see eye to eye. We were from two different backgrounds. There was a lot of ego there. Who am I to talk to someone with all these letters behind their name? And I'm the one diagnosed with a mental illness. I know there's a lot of you out there that can relate. I know there's a lot of you out there who've gotten this far into episode one, and I'm speaking to your heart. You remember an experience that you felt unheard. You remember a label being slapped onto you, and you just accepted it because you were intimidated by the letters behind someone's name or the degrees they had on the wall. Or you remember sitting across from someone who doesn't look like you, who doesn't speak like you, who cannot relate and empathize, not sympathize, empathize with the situations and experiences and challenges that you experience specific to your culture, specific to your neighborhood, specific to your socioeconomic upbringing. That's who I'm here for. That's the population I'm here to speak to. Those are the people I am here to help. So that's my story. And my goal for my podcast is to do all that I can to convince you just how sexy mental health is, and that mental health can, in fact, be achieved and supported without medication. I plan on doing that by sharing short stories with you, like I've done today, as well as offering tips and techniques that you can use that come from a holistic and alternative space. I'm a big proponent of the saying that take the meat and throw away the bones, or you may be familiar with the term, if the shoe fits. Or even the term, if it doesn't apply, let it fly. So what all those three things means is this. If I share something with you that conflicts with your personal beliefs or practices, don't do it. However, I can guarantee you that I'm going to say something on every episode that you can resonate with, that you can agree with, that you can implement, and that you can practice immediately. And you alone can be the sole judge of, how did this make me feel? Did it make me feel more relaxed? Did it make me feel more present and aware? Did it help me better manage a stressful situation at home or at work? That's what I'm here for. To convince you that mental health is something to talk about regularly, to normalize the conversations. And I'm going to do that by being as vulnerable as possible, sharing short stories, as I mentioned, offering tips and techniques that I've personally used, so I know that they work. And I invite you to let me know if you have any questions or any comments, or any mental health topic ideas, or even any feedback on this podcast. I invite you to connect with me on Instagram at CoachTheMP. I invite you to check out and subscribe to my YouTube channel at CoachThe, Mental Health and Healing Coach. And I invite you to send me a message on my website at www.coachthemp.com. Send me a message. Let me know if this resonates with you. Let me know if you have any questions, comments, feedback, and as I mentioned, mental health topic ideas. Because I just don't want to share my short stories with you. I would love for this to be an interactive podcast, where I answer questions. You can tell me how to refer to you as such, or you can tell me you just want to be completely anonymous. And I would love for us to engage with one another. We have to all do our part to normalize the conversations about mental health so that people are comfortable with having those conversations at the dinner table, at the restaurant, in a political arena, at school, during entertainment. Mental health is sexy. And I thank you so much for stopping by today and giving me 30 minutes to convince you just how sexy mental health is. Podcast episodes will be uploaded on Monday and Wednesday. So I invite you to follow this podcast, subscribe, whatever the terminology is, so that you don't miss episode 2 of season 2 that will be uploaded on Wednesday. So that's 2 days from now for you to digest this information today, for you to email me, for you to connect with me on social media, and for you to let me know if you have any questions, because I may even change my plan for episode 2 if I get a question from you, and I will make that episode too. Anyway, this has been fun. Thank you so much for tuning in. I look forward to speaking with you in a couple days. Be blessed.